Hi, Sharon. I'm Kathy Maxwell, and I am the author of about 22 historical romance novels.
Tell me about what started you on the journey of writing 22 romance novels.
Oh, you know, I always knew I wanted to write a book. When I was 25, I made a list of the 25 things I wanted to do in my life. And at that time, I was a television reporter, and I sensed I really wasn't doing what I wanted. I think many people go through that. You know, you jump into a new career and then suddenly it's, oh, this isn't exactly what I thought it was. So I had a moment of introspection. I wrote 25 things, and one of them was I wanted to write a book. It just came out of the blue. But I didn't know what kind of book I wanted to write. Now we go forward about 10, 15 years, and I read Fearless Eden by Jennifer Blake. Oh my gosh, this book captured my imagination. It had adventure, it had history, it had relationships, it had romance, it was passionate, it was involving, and I wanted to write a book like this. So I always credit Jennifer Blake for kind of starting me off on that desire to write. But then came the how. How do you set about writing a book? Well, I did it by buying a bunch of spiral notebooks and I started scribbling the worst book known to man. I worked on it day and night. I had children. I was working full time, and it was pretty pathetic. I ended up with 6 spiral notebooks filled full of scribbling, and finally set it aside. Just life happened, and I couldn't quite form the direction. I just kind of jumped into it. But later, I heard about a group called Romance Writers of America, and it is kind of the genre group for romance writers. It's a writer's group, but also it's a professional group. I attended a conference that was there. I had gone to my local library. They had a romance writer speaking, and she said, here's what you need to do if you want to get published. And that night, I wrote down everything she said, and then from there, I followed the path. I joined Romance Writers of America. I went to their conference, and 3 years later, I published my first book, which, by the way, was not the one that I scribbled in all of those theme books. I mean, it wasn't that book.
So. I have to ask, what would have been the name of the one that you scribbled in all of your notebooks?
Oh, it was set in the Revolutionary War, and I think I romance in the forest. I don't know exactly. It was, I can remember that the first 3 theme books were filled with he was an injured British soldier, she was nursing him, she nursed him through 300 pages of scribbling until I realized somebody had to say something. I mean, it was a bad book, but I think sometimes you have to just kind of work out the bad, the only way a writer can work something out is to sit down and start writing. That's it. And then you notice that this isn't working and you throw it out. And to this day, really, when I write, I'll write 50 pages to come up with 10 that I want to use.
And the title of your first book was?
Oh, All Things Beautiful. And I just heard that Avon Books is going to reissue it. It came out with HarperCollins, which is also Avon Books. And that was the one I sat down and started writing after I had joined Romance Writers of America and kind of formed the story arc that I wanted.
And why romance novels? What is it about that genre that intrigues you?
Because it's about relationships, and I'm about relationships, and all sorts of relationships. I'm not talking just about the relationship between a man and a woman, but relationship of a community, of your country, of relationship with something called honor. The idea that women don't understand honor is completely foreign to me, and I didn't even realize. I came from a family of women. I have 4 sisters. And we would sit around and talk about romance novels in the same way that PhDs would go on about Huck Finn and its effect on American literature. I mean, we really enjoyed our stories. We enjoyed the imagination and the creativity that went behind it. But most of all, we enjoyed the relationships.
And honor, you say a lot of people don't understand honor. What is it concretely that you want them to understand better about that?
You know, before the romance novel took off and became as popular as it is, and I'm thinking just in general like the 70s and the 80s, but even when Jane Austen was writing, we didn't have a lot of female heroes to the books. Austen did, and that was one of the reasons she was so popular, and that's one of the reasons many of the male critics scratched their heads. I mean, who wanted to read about what women thought? But with a romance novel, it becomes her story and her values. Somebody's been teaching all these men about honor, and it's been their mothers. Women, we value all of our relationships in our lives. We value our relationships to our country. And that the idea that we are nothing more than a bunch of ninny heads, like so many of the pot boilers in the 30s, we were just kind of background characters. But in the romance novel, we step forward as women of value, or with values.
And of course, I have to ask, your books are novels, meaning fiction, but how much of them are inspired by something that happens in your own life or by people that you've kind of observed over the years?
You know, the themes are inspired by things that happen in my own life. I mean, people don't change. And love makes us vulnerable. Sometimes when love also brings out our worst behavior as well as our best behavior. But whatever it does, it never leaves us untouched. So there are many of my values are in the books. And I believe that the most important thing, the secret to happiness, is how well you love and how well you are loved in return. That's it in a nutshell. But at the same time, I will go through and I will see themes. I can use current themes. I will sometimes use biblical themes, like in my current book, The Marriage Ring. I'm playing on the prodigal son, but I'm writing about the good son who stayed behind. Many times, you know, in a romance novel, we write about the black sheep or the bad boy. But in this book, I kind of took on, you know, the good boy, because the good boy is being untrue to himself too, isn't he? I mean, if we're living for the expectations of someone else, then we're not really being authentic with ourselves. And of course, he meets the girl who is actually the prodigal son. She has that role. And she is returning to her father to look for approval while he's trying to stop her from doing what it is that could hurt his father, while he's looking for his father's approval. And at some point, and I think this is really true about love and relationships, at some point, two people start to mean more to each other than all the others around. It doesn't mean that you don't love your family, care about them, but suddenly this relationship is so empowering and so special that you make a commitment. And the romance novel is a tale of commitment. Every one of them. I don't care whether we're writing about vampires, if we're writing modern day contemporaries, if we're writing young adults. It's all about commitment.
And I also have to ask, for my day job, I work in a women's resource center, and I find that the more you're able to kind of talk about relationships with people, the more it sort of opens up venues. They're less likely to stay in an unhealthy situation if they kind of are able to talk about relationships. What role do you think romance novels have in play, or you as an author of romance novels play in sort of normalizing the culture of discussing what is going on in relationships and things to that effect?
You know, that's a real interesting question, because I was just thinking about that. I was having a conversation with someone. We were talking about young women and confidence. And why is it in this day and age, when there's so many opportunities, we have young women who don't feel confident. We also have young men who don't feel confident. I mean, the sky's the limit in what you can achieve, and yet there's so many people holding themselves back. And especially in the work you do, it's kind of a breakthrough when they realize that they have the reins of their life in their hands. And I wonder where exactly we've gotten into. I have two daughters, and I talk to my daughters that it's not about whether he likes you, it's about whether you like him. Is this a person that fits into your life? It's not just that someone, and we all grow up insecure. We all wonder, can someone love us? We all wonder that. But at some point we start understanding it's how we love ourselves too that becomes important.
Beautiful. Three more questions. I'll make them very concise. Which is your favorite? I mean, if you had to choose a book that most represents you, where you're at today, which one would it be?
You know, it's always been the latest one I wrote. You know, The Marriage Ring, I loved the characters. I liked working with that kind of honor-bound male who isn't thinking for himself necessarily, but he's trying. I have a book coming out in December called His Christmas Pleasure, that I took on a foreign character. It's about a Spaniard, And we love our Latin men. They're wonderful. But again, it's about being about true to yourself and being honorable. And his meeting a woman who challenges him in a way that he'd never thought possible, who just flat out, she's not fitting the norm, she's not fitting his expectations, and it's confusing. It is confusing when we run across a person like that. But it's also our greatest growth. What I heard, it's always said that the person who is your soulmate is often the one that challenges you the most. That's true.
So for people who don't believe in love, or they say they've given up on it, you would say?
I don't believe there's anyone who doesn't believe in love. I don't believe that. I know there are people who've been disappointed and who've been saddened. I think there's many people who kind of need to work on themselves and look at what they're bringing to the table. That's step number one. What's in your game? What are you offering? And I also think there are many people who don't realize, you know, when we're 5 or 6 or 7, we're going to be baseball players or ballerinas, or we're going to be famous actresses on Broadway. We're going to go into television. We're going to go to the moon. We don't have any limits. But someplace along the way, as we grow older and we have the opportunity to do these things, we start placing limits on ourselves. And that's when we start placing limits on love. Love is a verb. And if you're out there doing what you're passionate about, you are loving, whether it's one person or a herd of people. It's all love.
And I'm working on a project right now called The Rhythm of Change. And if you think back to where you started at, being a journalist, a broadcast reporter, it sounds like, to where you're at today, you've obviously gone through a ton of changes. What does the rhythm of change mean to you, and how does it apply to your life?
The rhythm of change means that I'm not afraid to fail. The idea that I would write a book was so far beyond, I didn't know any writers. It was completely new. But I figured someone was writing the books, and what did I have to lose to buy a couple of theme books and, spiral notebooks and start scribbling away? So I think the rhythm of change is when you start to realize that you don't care whether you fail, you're willing to go forward.
And finally, for now, because we're almost at 15 minutes, we're still okay. But what would you say is the most important lesson that you've learned since you began your journey? And it might be the same thing, it might be something different.
Are you talking about a lesson in writing,
or lesson in life? What you've learned about your own life as a result of your writing career?
No. You know, it is the same. It is the same thing. The only thing that really matters is love. That is it. And I know that for my children, I want them to find someone who stimulates them intellectually, who encourages them. I want them to realize that there is, I do believe, I believe in God. I believe there's a power that's greater than all of us that also cares very much. I don't want people to feel alone and afraid in the world, because there is always presence of people around us who can help us and care for us, just in our humanity, if nothing else. So I think that's the lesson of life. And that's the theme I work on in what I write.
Perfect. And because we're just at 13 minutes, I'm going to give you one last one. This is a very male-dominated industry, and also on not romance novels, but the book industry in general. The people who sort of run the show are male. And I'm wondering, what is it like, what advice would you have to women who want to break into this field as a writer, who want to try taking this big risk, knowing, I think I heard the statistic the other day, that 93% of authors sell less than 5,000 copies, so some people could be very daunted by that and be afraid to try. What would you say to women colleagues around the world?
Well, I think you have to look at your goals. If your goal is to write a book, what does it matter? Whether you're selling or not, especially in this internet age that we're living in, there are so many opportunities on the horizon, I can't wrap my brain around it. But as to, male dominance or whatever, I was in the Navy before women were on ships. In fact, I had come into the Navy as a young officer, and they put me in the Pentagon because there were no women there. And they said, my job was to find the Admiral a racquetball court. I thought it was to protect the continental borders of the United States. I was wrong. But what I learned out of the whole experience of watching women come to where they are today, where they are full partners in the protection of this country and in taking advantage of all the opportunities that are coming is that you can't look around you at the boundaries. You have to look in front of you. It just, you know, you just go forward. You just crack right through it. And I've always said, you know, you can hold whatever beliefs you want. Just don't get in the way of me and what I want to do. And I think that's, sometimes we have to be, watch out that we're not making excuses for ourselves. Because there really are no limits in life. There aren't.